It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 168, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. I am joined on this episode of the podcast by my brother Matt. We, of course, recap the Miami Beach Bowl. We talk about what happened and what could have happened had BYU made some plays when they didn't. And, of course, we are obligated to talk about the brawl at the end. We also preview all the rest of the bowl games all the way through the end of bowl season. And we talk about BYU basketball, the win over Stanford, and whether we think they can beat the Zags. Once again, this is the Rise and Shout podcast. Check us out on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. Check us out on iTunes. And, of course, listen to us right now. Matt, it's the Rise and Shout podcast, post-game edition, Matt. Let's start out with the most obvious thing that everyone wants to talk about this game. Did we really lose the tug-of-war against Memphis in the friendly competitions? I just can't handle that. It's time to fire Bronco.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
We lost the tug of war. I want heads on a platter, Matt. I want them on a platter. And somehow Nick Howell's responsible for it, I'm sure.
We didn't practice right for the tug of war.
No. Maybe we weren't positioned right. Have we recruited the right kind of talent?
The assignments were blown.
The assignments were definitely blown. There's no doubt.
The system was perfect. The execution was the problem.
So Matt, let's start, and I'm going to time us and keep us to 5 minutes on the fight, and then we'll talk about the actual game.
All right.
Fair enough. All right. I'm starting.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on this one.
I'm starting the timer now. So after much video replay, it is apparent that Memphis started the fight. But Nacua really wanted to finish it.
Yeah, he did.
He really wanted to finish it. So, Matt, you see crazy stuff on Twitter and Cougar Board after a loss, regardless. You certainly, the crazy factor was like times 10 because it ended in a fight. Does this really mean much of anything besides the fact that this fight's going to be replayed on ESPN for the next 24 hours? But after that, they're going to have all sorts of other bowl games, NFL news, playoff scenarios, and all that to talk about. Does it really mean much at all?
No.
Will it...
It's a fight. It's a fight after a football game. Pretty frequently.
Yeah,
fights
actually
happen in practice. Fights happen.
Fights do happen. I do think, and I tweeted this, I think the refs did a poor job of managing the chippiness. That's what I said. But then I saw some of the quotes from some of the Memphis players who basically said they didn't really notice any chippiness. But I would say the offense and defensive line of BYU, which are the people that ended up starting the fight, the defensive linemen, I believe, were chippy throughout. Am I making stuff up, or is that a fair assessment?
It seemed chippy to me, and I don't know that the refs really did anything to try and manage that. But at the point that the fight broke out, you know, the refs are thinking, "Well, all right, well, we made it through."
Yeah. Yeah, they're running off the field like, yep, your problem, coaches. I'm just kidding. I don't know what they did. I did have to say that Coach Fuentes' comments at the end that this isn't who we were, and then afterwards he told his players, you had this great moment, and now it's marred by this, and you could do great things, and then 4 or 5 seconds of bad decisions can really make things bad. Do you think it mars their victory? Which, by the way, if you weren't a BYU fan, what a game, huh? So do you think this mars that for them, or you think, you know, a month from now, nobody cares?
A month from now, probably nobody cares, but I think there's going to be some suspensions on both sides here.
Yes.
That may impact the teams. But I would do a couple of things here. One is I'm going to take exception to his comment that this is not who we are. Apparently, it is who you are. I think he, in an effort to fire his players up, got them into a space where this was a possible scenario. But I really think he hit it on the head when he said, we've got to learn how to be successful and how to act when we're successful as well. You're right. Talking about a team that was 3-9 last year, and now, you know, it still feels like they've got something to prove, right?
Right.
And so they're playing with a giant chip on their shoulder, and that's how they've managed to be successful, probably, right? But they don't know how to win. They don't know that you don't need to go over and talk to anybody or taunt anybody after the game's over. You just settled it on the field.
Right. Right. I'm not going to say that's who they are, just because two players at least initially started the fight at the end. I mean, Caroma has done some pretty dumb things throughout the year, you know, as far as keeping his head in the game. And I wouldn't say BYU's a dirty team, because Caroma can sometimes ride that line pretty hard. But I see what you're saying. I mean, and his comments, of course, are right along the line of what you would hope a coach would say after this. Some people on Twitter took umbrage with the fact that Tom Homo apologized. Do you have any problem with Tom Homo apologizing for the ugliness of that scene at the end of the game?
No, I don't necessarily have an issue with him apologizing for the ugliness at the end of the game. But, you know, I mean, what else is he supposed to do?
He's got to apologize, doesn't he? I mean,
I think he has to say something.
Whether Nacua got punched by that tight end 40 or not, and or whatever, you can't cheap shot a guy in the back of the head twice.
I mean, no, you can never do that.
I mean, I am fine with standing up for yourself. I am fine if your teammate's getting pounded on the ground, you getting involved. I actually think that that's what you should do, right?
Right.
But I also think you fight someone face to face, cheap shotting at the back of the head, never cool, never okay. And again, I don't know if 40 was the guy that ended up hitting him or not.
Even if it was a cheap shot that he took to the face. I mean, he got hit pretty hard.
Oh, I mean, clearly he got hit. He got hit very hard, and obviously he is riled up by that. That being said, they started at the top of the game, Matt. That guy is not cool or awesome for headbutting his teammates with his helmet off.
No, that's just dumb.
That's stupid.
And I couldn't believe that ESPN kept glorifying it. That was disappointing to me.
I can't believe they even showed it. I mean, quite honestly. I mean, it's a terrible example of what... I mean, if that guy had got a concussion before the game started, you know, and then I saw him, they wanted to glorify him later. He's given like a rah-rah speech on the sideline, and everyone on the bench is looking at him like he's a nut job. Like, no one is getting, like, pumped up. I think that stuff is way overrated, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where execution is key, not aggression, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That guy seemed like a little bit crazy. But on the other hand, he did not deserve to get cheap-shotted in the back of the head.
No, he did not.
So, Matt, let's move on to the game. Now, the defense, I know this is going to come as a shocker, not very good. The defense gave up about 5 yards per play, which actually for them is not terrible. It's about average for how they've done this year. But I will tell you what, I don't know, coaching, and we'll get to this more in the offseason stuff, but it seemed like we didn't really figure out how to deal with their offense until the fourth quarter.
Well, and I think they did some different things in the third quarter than they had been doing earlier in the game. But
sure.
Defensively, from a scheme perspective, until the fourth quarter, we looked pretty lost.
Yeah, and Lynch is not a great quarterback, okay? So
he should never scramble that much.
Well, and part of the problem is we didn't get any pressure on him until the fourth quarter, and you saw what happened when he was pressured.
Yep.
Lots of mistakes. The other part, quite frankly, that is going to go down, I think, as people look back on this game, if you look at it closely, is one of the key plays with that fourth down play where Pove had the chance to make a play on the ball and gets out-muscled by the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. This season came down to Pove being able to defend one-on-one in pass coverage. That's kind of an epitome of this season, the injuries, the ineffectiveness of the defense. We thought this defensive backfield would be really good, but you're not in great shape if Pove is the guy that has to make the play for you. And it's no disrespect to him as a person or human being, but he is not a great coverage guy, and he had all the time in the world to make a play on that ball and did not.
He certainly had every opportunity to do something.
Yes, because it was lobbed in the air. because Lynch got hit and he had plenty of opportunity. That being said, Zach Stout on the good side, he figured out after getting burnt on an early slant to that number 40 guy, stayed home and made the play. Part of this, I kind of feel like, Matt, is the players. I mean, Stout on that first pass play should have been in position to knock it down or get an interception, and he bet on the fake. And I don't know. I just wonder if the players aren't as good as we thought they would be. And I know it's hard to separate coaching from players in a lot of ways, but this just didn't seem like a talented defense.
Well, what I saw today, especially early, was a lot of over-pursuit.
Yes.
And people not staying home. Those cutback lanes were always available. You know, the reverse that became a double reverse because everybody ran to that side of the field. And then they were able to come around the other side and basically scramble up a wall to create a big play. So, and I think that that comes down to players just not executing, just not doing what it is they're supposed to do and maintaining their response, their assignments.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It is, you know, people have to stay home and do what they're supposed to do, and there was too many spots where that didn't happen. I think we saw with Fua's game what could have been this year as well. He had a good game. He made some plays, and unfortunately, we did not see enough of Fua this year. And that hurt us big time, this season. So Matt, let's swap to the offensive side of the ball. You know, Christian Stewart had a not a great game. I mean, I know the coaching staff in their post game comments and the announcers were very positive, but he was 23 of 48. Three interceptions, including two that absolutely should have never happened. In overtime, you're down by a touchdown. You got to try to squeeze one in there. I don't have as much problem with that third one, but the first two were just really bad reads of the defense.
Yep. But I'll tell you, he started very hot. Nine for nine and 150 yards.
He looked fantastic, but their defense made adjustments and started blitzing him, and the offensive line struggled to stop the blitz. Though actually, Stewart's not terrible on the run. He can still get quite a bit on the ball. The only thing I would question on the offensive side of the ball is I think Lasique. I want to know where Nate Carter was.
You didn't see any, right? And Lasique almost looked like he wasn't 100%, right?
Yeah, he looks slower than usual. You know, I don't know if he wasn't 100% or if he just had an off day and he's had a good season, but it became clear to me after three or four carries that this was not the usual Paul Lasique. Uh-huh. Obviously they ended up giving most of the work to Brown who did fairly well with it. 80 yards and 19 carries. I just thought their defense was also kind of over pursuing, and a guy like Carter has that ability to make you pay for that. Where Brown and Lasique do not have that cutback ability that Carter did. But maybe Carter wasn't 100% either. Stewart, of course, not great in the running game, though he did have a couple of okay runs. Mitch Matthews, 9 catches for 82 yards. Juergens has kind of a big game. Mahina comes back. Jordan Leslie, let's get to that catch that was called not a catch. One of the most amazing catches you will see. That was my understanding of the rule is it can touch the ground.
It can touch the ground as long as the ball doesn't move.
Yes, and I think what they were saying is that the ball moved after. But I think they misinterpreted that one, and I certainly don't think the call in the field was confirmed. When I heard that, I was like, I'm not sure how you could confirm that one. Maybe you just say that it was stands, but on the other hand, of course, we got a touchdown with Paul Lasique that he was clearly down at the 3-yard line. So the replay official struggled in this particular game.
Yeah, I still feel really bad about that catch. I mean, that was an amazing play, and he got robbed.
Yes, and if you watch the play, it could be it was pass interference. The guy was all over him
before. Oh yeah, and
he couldn't
with
get
one
his
hand?
Left arm up. right?
If he would have had both hands, he wouldn't have had to catch the ball the way he did.
Right. And that's the other thing is, I think these part of the chippiness is the refs decided to swallow their whistles in overtime, and I don't like that stuff. To me, you make the plays, you make the calls consistently, so people in overtime and late game situations know how to play, right?
Right.
So that it's consistent. I know people love that, but this isn't the NBA, right?
But even then, the idea of, oh, well, you can't make that call this late in the game. It's the rule.
Yes, exactly. Let him play. I mean, it's unfair to a receiver to take away one of his arms. I mean, that's just my expert opinion on that one. But that being said, the BYU defense had opportunities to make stops both in the fourth quarter and overtime. So I don't want to put this on the offense because the offense, I think, did enough, right?
Scored plenty of points.
Scored a lot of points, put up a lot of yards. Yes, Stewart could have made a few more plays. Yes, there could have been some things. But when you give up as a defense 55 points, I mean, you're going to lose that game most likely, even though we, of course, understand that 10 of those points were in overtime. So let's move on to kind of overall implications, Matt. Everyone's asking for Broncos head. I'm kidding, not everyone. But Twitter and Cougar board are lit up. By the way, this was one of my favorite tweets of the night. I tweeted out Cougar board is crazy right now. Venture there at your own risk. And Scott Gower, that's at Scott M. Gower on Twitter, said, #, things that are almost always true.
That's a good point.
Now, Matt, I went on one. I say this because it was in my Twitter feed. I went on one deal, and it was a Ute fan, like, causing a ruckus over there. And I tried to do this, and I was going to do it, but I forgot. I wanted to find the vine of the Ute player dropping the ball at, like, the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
And say, you know, when you guys stop hot dogging it and losing momentum and potentially losing your biggest game of the season, then you can talk to us about a fight at the end of the game.
Right.
But that's why I usually stay off Cougar board, because of that stuff. So anyway, let's see. Anything else you want to talk about this game before we get to the big picture whole season stuff?
Well, you know what's funny is a friend of mine who's not necessarily a BYU fan texted me after the game and concerned about Bronco Mendenhall's ability to maintain control of the program given the ugliness that we saw after the game, the fight. And I texted him back and I said, hey, it looks to me like the Memphis player started that fight, but I would fire him for those 2 timeouts to burn trying to ice somebody on an extra point.
I guess we've already
talked about this, but that just chaps my hide.
That's not like, a firing offense.
That is one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen.
I agree, because we could have certainly used those timeouts, right?
If you have those timeouts, you totally changes what you do there at the end.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That almost deep ball to Leslie. Can you imagine if he would have caught that with a second left?
Oh, yeah.
And we don't have any timeouts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. The clock management in general in this game was terrible, and I got into it with a few guys on Twitter. But okay, here's the scenario at the end of the game, at the end of the first half, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get a punt, you call a timeout to have time left and for the guy to punt. Okay, now the guy punts it, but it's a great punt, pins you back, right? And you were hoping mm-hmm. for maybe a lesser punt. Okay, so then you decide we're going to run the clock down. Now, number one, I disagree with that decision. I think you don't have a great defense, so you need to maximize your offensive opportunities. But, okay, you make that decision. Then run the clock all the way down into each play.
Yes!
Like, on the third down run, there was 11 seconds or 10 seconds left when we hiked the ball.
It was very weird. It was very inconsistent.
I mean, I get it. You were hoping for a bad punt. That punter did a good job and pinned us back. I get it. Then use the clock, right? Like, and it didn't come back to bite us or anything, but I'm just saying the clock management, the use of timeouts, and I get at the end of the overtime, you know, like we said, it goes away anyway. But I just, you know, it's just weird use of timeouts and weird clock management. I sometimes feel like BYU's coaching staff doesn't really get how that works at the end. Like, I'm not sure that they spend enough time thinking about it or, like, scenario planning. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. They clearly don't. They clearly don't. If you're making the decision to call those timeouts, you're making that decision right there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that tells me that you haven't sat down outside of the heat of the moment and said, hey, so what would we do in a situation, in this type of a situation? What's the smart thing to do here?
Right.
Because everybody knows that what they decided to do was ridiculous.
Right. And that's absolutely true. But I don't think it's a firing offense. Bill Simmons says about NFL teams, which, by the way, NFL teams are terrible at clock management, too. It's not just a college problem. That they should hire some kid that just played like 80,000 hours of Madden to do all their clock management decisions.
Yeah.
Because part of the problem is coaches don't get into those situations enough, right? So you need close games, you need certain situations, and if you don't see those enough, your gut, quote-unquote, makes a decision. But guts are often wrong and filled with Cuban food at that time.
I'm not really sure where you're going with the Cuban food. Is this because they were in Miami?
Yes. Welcome to Miami.
All right.
Bienvenido a Miami.
I wouldn't seriously fire Bronco Mendenhall for calling those two timeouts. But if I were going to fire him and my choice for reasons were the fight or calling the two timeouts, I'm choosing the two timeouts.
Nobody should get fired over the fight. I mean, the players made their own decisions out there. Nacua makes his own decision. The Memphis players make their own decisions. Poor decisions. But that, you can't – I mean, I get it. The coaches at the end are responsible, but the fight doesn't show anything that's that's systematic, right? You know what I mean? Like, if you had fights 3 weeks in a row, then you'd say, oh boy, coaching staff problems, right?
Right.
But I wouldn't worry about that. So Matt, let's look at it this way, okay? So big picture, lots of people want to fire Bronco. I get the sentiment, right? But I don't agree with the conclusion. But let's look at it kind of realistic here. 8-5 in 2014, 8-5 in 2013, 8-5 in 2012, and then 10-3, which is not actually a good 10-3 because that schedule was absolutely terrible. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then you go down to 2009. And of course, that was a fantastic season, 11-2, and go back there. The two seasons before that were also quite good. Man, this has been a really mediocre stretch for BYU since 2010. How do you make sense of that? And of course, the 2010 was the 7-6 disaster year. How do you make sense of this? Is BYU in a funk? Do you give a little bit of a pass this year because of the all the injuries? What do you say? Is BYU headed in the wrong direction? Have we stalled?
Well, you know, there's a part of me that says, yeah, you want to give them a little bit of a pass because of the strange rash of injuries. But then when you look at the, you know, as you've just laid out for us, the history of the past several years, It really appears that BYU is in a stretch of mediocrity right now, and
right.
that's where the program is. As the program stalled out, that might be a way to describe it. So I think you've got to do something. When year after year you're getting the same results, and you know we can go into previous years where there have been different reasons or excuses or whatever you want to call them for that type of performance. I feel like this year might hold a little bit more water. I mean, because you had Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and everybody got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, if you had Taysom Hill and Jamal in this game against Memphis, this isn't even close.
No, and that's one of the things, and I think people try to brush this aside, but I think this defense, I think they knew they didn't have as much talent this year. And I think they designed the defense to be kind of that classic Bronco bend don't break type of philosophy, which I know drives some fans crazy. But it was working until he got hurt.
That's
right.
You
know what I mean? It was working because he put so much pressure on the other team that, you know, playing with a lead as a defense is very different than playing from behind. And, you know, obviously that Utah State game is a strange game all around because of the injury and that, like, 90 seconds. But the defense, it's not like they had played well against Houston or Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. They had given up a lot of yards and a lot of points. It's just BYU could do more than that. To me, the thing that sticks out to me is the Nevada loss, right?
Yeah.
Utah State, I understand it. Central Florida, pretty good team on the road. I understand it. Boise State, totally get. They're a way better team than we are this year. Easy. Nevada, they're not any good this year. I know they've had good years in the past. They're not good this year. And that's the one. It may, Matt, be like the worst loss Broncos ever had as far as how bad the opponent, the computers think the opponent is versus how good they think BYU is. That one's a tough one to swallow, but quite frankly, the rest of them with the injuries, this team was a 9-4 team max without Taysom Hill, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But with Taysom Hill, does this team go undefeated?
No, I think we lose to. I think we still lose to Boise, but I think it might be a one loss. Don't you think?
Maybe. I think you might even beat Boise.
You might. I mean, you certainly have a way better chance to beat Boise with him in the game. I just don't think our defense could have contained Boise well enough. You know, Boise's offense started to click right around the time they played us and obviously threw up like a billion yards. I mean, what they average per play, it was like, let me go back and check my super sheet O stats. Boise averaged 8 yards per play. I mean, holy cow. 637 yards.
Yeah,
wow.
55 points is a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. And granted, if Taysom's in the game, it changes everything. If the offense were clicking early, it changes everything. I think that one is still a loss, but with one loss, you might have been the team going to the New York Six Bowl. It's possible. Yeah. It's impossible to say for certain, but it's certainly possible that could have happened. So, Matt, going forward to next year, looking at who's coming back, looking at who's going to return, all that kind of stuff, are you optimistic with this schedule that we have that just should be pretty challenging? Or do you think, oh, gosh, we're going to have Jamal and Taysom trying to return from injury? We could be 0-3 before we know it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. But it may just be the pessimism. You know, before the season starts, we should have a little bit more information about those guys coming back. If Taysom Hill can't come back, at least not in time, which at this point we're getting all indications that seem like he's on track, but you never know, right?
I was kind of hoping, seeing him on the sidelines, I was like, oh, come on, suit him up.
Throw on some pads.
Suit him up.
Yeah, and let's put this to bed right now. Review this game tape for Christian Stewart is not as good as Taysom Hill. All right?
Yeah.
Let's just, I know there was some rumbling, well, ah, this offense looks great. Yes, this offense looked great against who? You know, against Middle Tennessee, they're terrible. UNLV, they're even worse. And Savannah State is even worse. Now, Cal, they've got a really good offense. Their defense isn't anything special. So, you know, let's just put this to rest. We would have been much better off with Taysom Hill the entire season than Christian Stewart the entire season. So let's not go all crazy on us here. So, Matt, one of the things we missed because we weren't together last week is our annual Predict the Bowls.
Yes.
So we are going to start that this week and get you through. Let's just do them all.
Wow. Right,
let's do them all.
Wow. Our bowl game extravaganza.
A bowl game extravaganza. Anything else you want to say on that game?
No, the more I talk about it,
it just makes me sad. Yeah, makes you want to punch somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought we had a fighting chance there at the end.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I had originally planned to lace a lot more of those fighting references into the podcast.
Yeah. What happened? You kind of dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, I kind of did.
It's like you were holding your helmet at the end.
Well, you get to a point where you're just swinging at nothing.
Yes, it's true. You know? If you want to get more depressed, remember we lost to Nevada and they lost to Louisiana Lafayette 16-3 in the Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Hey, the Ragin' Cajuns.
Yeah, who aren't a terrible team, but they're not good either. So Matt,
16-3.
16-3, Matt.
That game was almost as much of a slugfest as the BYU Memphis game.
Yeah, close. It was close. So here's how we do it. We're going to go through every single remaining bowl. We're not going to go back in time. All right. Neither of us cared about any of the games on Saturday.
But I think I could successfully pick the winner of each of the games that have already happened.
Yes. You probably for the first time in your life could predict winners well. Here we go. We're going to do this, who we think is going to win, and then we're going to give percent chance we see any of this game. All right.
All right.
So tomorrow, December 23rd, there's two games. The Boca Raton Bowl in Boca Raton, Florida. Marshall, 12-1. Northern Illinois, 11-2. Who you got, Matt?
I got Marshall in a rout.
You got Marshall in a rout. I also have Marshall in a rout as well. They're favored by 10. Percent chance you see any of this game?
95.
Really?
But there's not going to be anything else on.
That's true. There is not going to be anything else on. All right, moving on to the next game. Navy 7-5, San Diego State 7-5 in the Poinsettia Bowl in beautiful San Diego, California.
Remember, everybody, poinsettias are poisonous if you eat them.
That's true. That's true. They are. Who's going to win this one?
Navy.
Navy by 80 touchdowns.
I cannot ever predict San Diego State to win anything.
Neither can I.
But you know what I love? I love me some Ryan Lindley playing for the Cardinals right now.
Oh, gosh, you look terrible. By the way, he's getting replaced. They already
said
Logan Thomas will be starting the next game. Ryan Lindley, ouch.
Hey, Coach Arians, I could have suggested that for you right up front.
Yeah, that was, John Beck. He's available, Coach. Much better than Ryan Lindley.
I'm available.
Well, heck, they're talking about bringing freaking Warner back. That's insane, okay? That's insane.
No, it's not. It's awesome.
And a couple of weeks ago, I thought they might make the Super Bowl. Not anymore. Percent chance you see any of this game? 0% chance for me.
50-50. This one can go either way. It kind of depends on what.
What else is going on? All right. Christmas Eve, there's the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl in the Bahamas. Central
how
Michigan,
awesome is that?
7-5. Western Kentucky 7-5. Well, how awesome is that except for the fact that we've got 2 7-5 teams.
And they get to go to the Bahamas?
And they get to, you went 7-5. You get to go to the Bahamas. And
it's almost like you wonder if one of them tanked a little bit just so they could get into this game.
I've got Western Kentucky in this one. Who do you got?
I got Central Michigan here.
Oh, and a little bit of an upset.
Yeah.
Percent chance you see any of this game?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. Hawaii Bowl in Honolulu, Fresno State, 6-7. The bowl season. And Rice, 7-5. Why are we even talking about this game? Who cares? Percent chance you see it? Zero.
Actually, it's percent chance I watch some of this game's probably 100%.
Oh, because you'll be like wrapping presents and stuff?
Yeah, the Hawaii, it's a tradition for me, whatever this game is. Some people like to watch It's a Wonderful Life while they do these things. I like to watch me some football.
Yeah, but it will be terrible football.
And by the time I turn it on, it'll be ugly.
Yeah, it'll be ugly. All right.
I'll watch it for a couple minutes.
All right.
It's football.
December 26th, we've got three bowls. Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, 6-6 Illinois. Wow, another terrible game. 8-5 Louisiana Tech. Matt, who you got?
I got Illinois. Give me the Illini.
I've got Louisiana Tech. I got Louisiana Tech in that one. The computers like them, and I like computers. So,
hey, and have you ever eaten at Zaxby's, by the way?
I have not. Is it good?
Delicious.
Delicious. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
It's really good.
Percent chance you see any of this game the day after Christmas at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Not that's just not going to happen, I'm
pretty,
sorry.
Pretty darn low.
20%.
Quick, I'd put mine at 5%. Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, Michigan, 7-5. Rutgers, go Big Ten, 6-6. North Carolina out of the ACC. Another snooze fest bowl, Matt. Who you got?
I'm going to go ahead and take Rutgers here. Because I'm a Big Ten homer.
I'm going to actually take North Carolina in a close one, Matt.
I'll tell you what, those North Carolina players will have plenty of time to prepare because I don't think that they take finals.
I see what you did there. Percent chance you see the Quick Lane Bowl?
6%.
6%. I give mine again 5%. The Bitcoin. Does Bitcoin still exist?
I don't know. I feel like there's something wrong with that game.
Yes, definitely. It's in St. Petersburg, Florida. 7-5 NC State. 9-3 Central Florida Knights. Matt, I'm going with the Knights in this one.
I'm with you, too. I'm taking the Knights.
Percent chance I see this game. It's at night, so that raises it. But I might go see a movie that night, so I'm going to put it at 10%.
I'm at 45%.
45%, all right. Saturday, December 27th, right?
That would be correct, sir.
Saturday, December 27th, there's a slew of games. I think four of them. Military Bowl in Annapolis, Maryland, 9-3 Cincinnati, 6-6 Virginia Tech. Neither of them have anything to do with the military. Matt, who you got?
I'm going to go ahead and take Cincinnati in this one.
I will also pick Cincinnati. Virginia Tech, I believe, is favored as of now. Percent chance you see this 1 p.m. game?
11.6%.
I put it at 15%. Hyundai Sun Bowl in El Paso, Texas. This is our first actually decent bowl game. Number 15, Arizona State at 9-3 Duke. That being said, I think Arizona State wins by 3 touchdowns.
I'm taking Duke.
What?
Yeah.
You hate the Sun Devils. Hate them with passion.
Do.
Percent chance
do.
You see some of this game.
2 p.m. on a Saturday? It's like
80%?
69%.
80% for me. Duke Commander Independence Day. I don't even know what that means.
Duck Commander. Yeah, they make like hunting apparel and stuff.
All right. Well, I'm sure the fans of Miami and South Carolina, who are both 6-6, will be excited to know that. That's on ABC.
I have a feeling that a lot of South Carolina fans actually use Duck Commander.
I think that's about 100% chance of that. I'm going with Miami in a tiny kind of an upset in a terrible game.
I'm taking South Carolina because I'm going to stick with Steve Spurrier.
Okay, there you go. Percent chance I watch some of this. 40% chance, and only if I'm watching the Sun Bowl and flipping over during.
I'm the same
commercials
way.
Or something.
So I'm in that 70% range because I'm likely going to be watching some football Saturday afternoon. Come on.
All right. New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Okay, this is a bad idea to have a bowl game in New York City. Let's get this straight. Central Michigan, Western Kentucky get to go to the Bahamas, and these guys get to freeze their tails off playing in a baseball stadium.
That's right.
Penn State, Boston College, two teams that that there were a lot of people in our high school that liked. I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions.
I'm also sticking with Penn State here.
I thought you would, you Big Ten homer.
Absolutely.
The National University Holiday Bowl.
I don't even know what that means.
I think they ran out of good sponsors. 9-3 Nebraska, 8-4 USC. I'm going with USC, and I don't think it's actually going to be very close. But
no.
Right now, they're only favored by 7, but I wonder if those guys in Vegas have actually watched Nebraska's defense.
Yeah, I think USC wins this game big.
Percent chance you see either of these later games, Boston College, Penn State, Nebraska, USC?
94%.
I'll match you with 94%.
Very precise in my percentages.
Yes, I see that. You always are, Matt, you always are. Let's keep going. On the 29th of December, there are two games. The Russell Athletic Bowl, 8-4 Oklahoma at number 17, 9-3 Clemson. Matt, who do you got?
I've got 9-3 Clemson here.
Oh, Oh, I also will pick Clemson out of the ACC. Percent chance you see some of this game?
Pretty low.
Really?
Because I've got to work that day.
It's 5:30 Eastern.
Yeah, that's 4:30 my time. Why would I DVR this when there's going to be other games on when I get home to watch?
Other games? The other game that night is 6-6 Arkansas, since you mentioned it, against 6-6 Texas. This would have been a good game in like 92.
You think I'm going to DVR Oklahoma Clemson and watch that after I get home?
Even Clemson fans are DVRing it. That's not true.
Did we jump over the Liberty Bowl?
Did we miss the Liberty Bowl?
Because it starts at 2 that afternoon.
Oh, yeah, I did miss the Liberty Bowl here in the list. That's 7-5 Texas A&M, 7-5 West Virginia. I will be at work. I won't see any of this game. And I'm going to go with A&M.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to go with West Virginia here because I...
Because you like to be contrary.
I feel like I have to. I have to.
You like to be contrary. Because you
but
live
I
in
have
Texas?
A funny feeling that there will be a TV on somewhere around the office with this game on.
Good point. You live in Texas. So, all right. On the 30th, there's a 3-game deal as well. By the way, there's no chance I see Arkansas-Texas. Did we cover that?
Yeah, but we didn't pick winners or losers. But come on.
Everyone's a loser in that game. All right. Notre Dame-LSU in the... Man, LSU fell to the Music City Bowl. That really stinks for them. I've got LSU by a lot.
Yeah, LSU comes out on top here.
Percent chance you see any of this? I about 0% chance I see any of this.
Yeah, I'm not going to see
any of that. I'll be at work. Belk Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina. 9-3 Georgia. 9-3 Louisville. This is the first one I am excited about, Matt. I'm excited about this one. Who you got?
I've got Georgia here.
You have Georgia. I have Louisville in a bit
really?
Of an upset.
I guess we will see, my friend.
Bit of an upset. I like Louisville in that game. Later that night, a late start, 10 p.m. Eastern, the Foster's Farm Bowl.
What? Who is that?
I don't
Foster
know.
Foster Farms?
It's
I don't even know what that is.
Santa Clara, California. It's 7-5 Maryland against the Trees of Stanford. Who you got?
I've got the Fighting Trees in this one.
I definitely have the Fighting
it's
Trees.
It's basically a home game.
I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I think Stanford's a lot better. Okay.
Bold prediction, Maryland will wear something ridiculous.
Yeah, like their ugly state flag across
oh my gosh.
Their entire body. That'll be awesome. On New Year's Eve day, 12:30, start number 9, Ole Miss, 9-3 out of the SEC. They have lots of speed. And number 6, TCU, 11-1, co-champions somehow out of the Big 12, though Baylor beat them head-to-head. Matt, who you got in this one?
One true champion, TCU, baby.
I also have TCU. I think Ole Miss was a paper tiger, as they say.
Did you just refer to them as Old Miss?
Yes. I like calling them Old Miss. It's funny.
I think we should start calling them Ole Miss. Ole!
I've got TCU in that one as well. I really want to see this game. I don't know. I may work some that day, but I'd give it a 75% chance I see some of it.
Yeah, I'm up in that 75% chance.
All right. Boise State, number 20, at number 10, Arizona, in the Fiesta Bowl, not on New Year's Day, though. Who do you got?
Remember when Vizio sponsored the Las Vegas Bowl?
Yes.
And they've moved up in the world,
They have moved up in the world.
You know, they've taken the past couple of years and really improved their game, connecting, you know, they made some moves to connect themselves with big-time football. And, you know, it'd be really too bad if after they had made all those moves, they could still just get to the Las Vegas Bowl.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm just saying it would be sad if somebody had taken some time to distance themselves from something like the Las Vegas Bowl and then had failed to do so and ended up there anyway.
Hey, but, you know, you're right. You're right. That would be sad or very
But I'm
happy.
Glad that they were able to improve their brand. Good,
yes.
Way to go, Vizio.
Yes, way to go, Vizio. I see what you did there. I'm not sure everyone's going to get what you just tried to do. I'm going with Boise. I actually think they're a better team than Arizona. What about you?
I'm going with Boise here as well, mostly because I hate Arizona.
Yeah, I know you do. I don't have any deep feelings towards Arizona. There is a, I'd say 75-80% chance I see some of that game.
Yeah, I'd watch some of that game. And just for the record, my feelings are not very deep. My hate is very shallow.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Not like my hate for San Diego State and Stanford.
No, that runs deep into your bones.
Yes, deep, deep into my bones. Capital One Orange Bowl is, of course, in Miami. Number 7, Mississippi State. Number 12, Georgia Tech. Matt, who you got?
I got Mississippi State here.
I got Mississippi
Georgia
State
Tech is going to get wrecked.
Yes. Unless for some reason Mississippi State is just like mentally checked out, this will not be a close game. I will likely not see this game because we're going over to somebody's house for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, see, that's the part. That's the tough part about the way this game is placed, right?
Yes.
Is that everybody's got plans.
Yes, everyone has plans. Everyone has plans. All right, so Matt, New Year's Day is back. Can I say that? New Year's Day is freaking back.
Oh, it is. It's packed.
I will sit down at about 11, probably 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Daylight Time. I don't know what time we're on.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Central Time. And I will have my butt on the couch until sometime late that night.
Isn't it great?
I may get up a few times to pee. That's about it.
If you do it right, you won't have to do that, but we can talk about that off the podcast.
Yes, we can. There's a sports catheter you can get for that.
I was not going to use the term catheter, but wow, you just went for it there, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did. So let's start with the greatest January 1st in like 10 years, because January 1st had lost its luster, Matthew. It's back! I'm so excited! I'm going to stuff my face and watch football all day long. Okay, starts out at 12 p.m. Eastern. Number 19, Auburn. Number 18, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
in the
be a good
Outback
game.
Bowl. Yeah, what a great way to start the day, huh? What a great way to start the day. Who you got?
I'm going to go ahead and take Wisconsin in this one.
I'm going to take Auburn. I think they're a little bit better, but I think it should be a really good game. I think it'll be a great game. Percent chance I see this? 100. All right, 100%. Next. Cotton Bowl. Number 8, Michigan State. Number 5, Baylor, co-champ of the Big 12. So we've been told.
One true champion.
Left right out of the first ever playoff, Matt. Who do you got?
I'm actually going to take Baylor here. I think Baylor is a very, very good team.
I actually am going to take Michigan State in a bit of an upset.
Really? Yeah, who's the Big Ten homer now?
This has nothing to do with the Big Ten homer. I think Baylor's not as good as they think they are.
Really?
Yeah. I just said it. You don't belong in the playoff. You didn't get in the playoff because you scheduled a bunch of pansies out of season. And I'm sorry, you did it 5 years ago. Wah, wah, wah. You scheduled SMU, Northwestern, Buffalo, okay? Give me a break. You don't deserve to be anywhere, and I hope Michigan State kills you. All right, sorry. Bitter rant done.
Wow.
Percent chance you see that game, 100?
I'm about 100%.
110. Give it 110%, Matt.
Not even statistically possible.
It is not. Buffalo Wild Wings, Citrus Bowl. Matt, trivia question. Why do they call it BW3s? Buffalo Wild Wings. BW3s. Didn't you hear that when you were at Purdue?
But we just used to call it B-dubs.
But did you hear people call it BW3s when you were at
Maybe.
Purdue?
Maybe.
There's only two W's. I'm very confused. Anyway, Citrus Bowl. 16, Missouri. 25, Minnesota. Somehow, once again, Urban Meyer cannot win the coach of the year in the Big Ten. It goes to Jerry Kill out of Minnesota. I think that's one of the best things ever. I've got Missouri in this one. Who you got?
I got Missouri as well.
Yeah, I hope for the mental state of some of my friends here that I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. 100% chance I see some of this game for you?
95%.
95?
You've got to remember, I have a child with a birthday on January 1st.
I know. That's not my fault. Yeah, I had my kid a week later, January 8th. It's a lot better. So, Matt, our first ever semifinal game is next. 5 p.m. Oh. Eastern. The Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual. Number 2, Oregon, 12-1. Undefeated yet number 3, Florida State. Who you got?
Oh, listen, you talk about Baylor being a paper tiger here. I think Florida State defines that.
Yes.
Oregon wins big.
I don't think Florida State. I think Jameis Winston gets intercepted 18 times.
Wow.
Okay,
I'm not even sure that's possible.
It's probably not. But I think this is a domination on both sides of the ball by Oregon. 100% chance I see this game. 100.00.
And this is one I would actually, if I can't be there right at kickoff, I would DVR this.
Oh, yes. You better.
Except the problem would be that I'd have to catch up in time to watch the game we're going to talk about next.
Which is?
The All-State Sugar Bowl featuring Alabama and Ohio State.
Yeah. Both 12-1, champions of their respective leagues. You know, this could be kind of a snooze fest evening. I think Alabama's going to beat Ohio State. But, I think it'll be closer than people think. Ohio State's pretty good. I do not like a third-string quarterback against a Nick Saban defense.
No, I think that's going to be a rough situation. But I'd really like to see Ohio State come out with a win here, not just because of the Big Ten connection, but also I think it would be a shame that the first year of the college football playoff we end up in the championship with the number one and number two ranked team.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to have somebody else in there. I agree. 100% chance, of course, that I see that game because I won't have moved since 10:30 a.m. that morning. Matt, there's some bowl games after this. I don't care about any of them, so we're not going to
I like.
Them.
I think we should start calling the bowl games here between the 1st of January and the championship game. Those are like the filler games. It's like the halftime show.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Like, go get yourself a drink, come back, watch a little bit.
The only good game in
talk
here.
To your friends.
Why is the GoDaddy Bowl the last bowl before the national championship? That should
that
not
makes
be
no
allowed.
Sense. No. That game should have already been played by now.
Yeah, that game should have been that game should be played on like December 15th. Okay. The only good game is the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, which is number 11 Kansas State, number 14 UCLA. So I'll break my rule. January 2nd, that's the next day after January 1st for those of you scoring at home. Who you got?
Wait, I got lost here. What game are we talking about?
Kansas State and UCLA, the only good one after January 1st. The only one that's interesting.
All right. I got Kansas State here, actually.
I also have Kansas State here, but I think it'll be a good game. Percent chance you see any of that game?
87%.
I'd put mine at about 65%. 65%. And then next time we talk, we should be able to talk maybe. Well, maybe not, because next week we may do one before the first. But we will get to preview a national championship game, Matt.
Yes.
Yes. Which happens in Arlington, Texas on January the 12th. Well, Matt, before we sign off, BYU basketball beat the Stanford Cardinal, which, of course, I'm always excited about. But, of course, I don't think Stanford's that great of a team this particular season. Looking at BYU basketball, there's a couple of things coming up. UMass, who doesn't look that great either, that's on tomorrow during the day. Are you going to end up watching any of that game?
I'm going to try and watch it.
TV. Me too. But then, of course, the big one is Saturday night, Matt. Gonzaga comes. They're ranked like ninth in the country. They're coming to – it'll be on ESPN2. We'll also be watching football that day. Percent chance you see any of that game.
The Gonzaga game? Oh, yeah.
100%, right?
Yeah.
On ESPN2. Percent chance we win. It was great to see Tyler Hawes was back for that Stanford win.
You just had to go there, didn't you?
What, to Tyler Hawes?
To percent chance we win this game.
Yeah, we have to talk about it.
That's just really a buzz. It's just really a buzzkill question.
It's not a buzzkill question. It's a reality question.
I think we got like a 40% chance of winning this game.
I think it's less than that. I would put it more at like 25 to 30. But I will say this. I want to say something about Kyle Collinsworth, okay? In the game against Stanford, he has 15 points, 7 assists, 10 rebounds. He's already had a triple-double this year. Like one of only a handful of triple-doubles in BYU school history. Matt, is it possible that Kyle Collinsworth goes down as a better all-around total college player than Tyler Haas?
No.
I say yes.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Haas is a much better scorer. That's easy, right? I mean, Tyler Haas is one of the best scorers BYU has ever seen. But Collinsworth kind of does it everywhere. And this guy's not a point guard being used as a point guard. I don't know. He's got one more year with a whole new set of people next year. I don't know. I think I might think that. Am I crazy?
Yes. Okay. Yes, you're crazy.
Well, according to sportsreference.com, this year Tyler Haas is 2.6 win shares, which is kind of like, you know, their metric for overall play, and Collinsworth is at 1.4. So, the advanced stats agree with you that I'm crazy.
Yes, because you are.
But he's really good. I kind of feel like BYU fans are like underrating him, so I'm trying to push him up.
I'm not saying he isn't really good.
Yes, you are. You just said he's terrible.
But the premise that he's going to go down as a better all-around player? Come on.
Okay. I really like watching Collinsworth.
No, he's fantastic. He's awesome. I love him. I love him. I would name a child after him. I think he's great.
Wow, that's awkward.
That got really weird there at the end, didn't it? I don't even know.
But I will say, I am, you know, we talked about in the preseason about Anson Winder, Matt, and he has been something.
Yeah, he's been great.
He really has. He has really been, has been good this year, and I think he already has, according to win shares, he already has almost as much value so far this year than he had all of last year. He's been really good, and of course, you know, some of the big guys have stepped up with Nate Austin hurt and things. So I think are you optimistic or pessimistic about this team? I mean, they had those close losses, all three losses to good teams where they had a chance. Are you optimistic? Do you think our conference losses come down to Gonzaga twice? Or do you think we've got one or two more left in there?
I think the conference losses come down to Gonzaga twice.
I think so too. I think we could run the table. Part of it is there's not really any other great teams,
right,
in the conference. You know, St. Mary's isn't who they've been most of BYU's time in that conference. So I'm very optimistic.
The problem will be the third loss in the tournament.
Yes, yes. The problem will be the third loss. And, man, we really needed one of those games against Purdue. Who am I thinking of? San Diego State. Oh, that's why I couldn't think of them. I hate them. And then who's the third one?
It's Utah.
Oh, Utah. That's why I can't think of them. My mind is blocking them out. We really needed one of those games.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we won't make the tournament, but I'm just saying one of those three becomes a big deal if you could win them.
That's right. It's a lot harder to put together the right resume without one of those wins.
But unlike Baylor's football team, we schedule tough out of conference BYU basketball.
Hey now.
Well, they should have been doing that already. That's when I hear the whining from Baylor fans or Big 12 people. Well, they made this decision 5 years ago.
They shouldn't have made it then.
Yeah, they decided 5 years ago to be a wussy program. Fine, this is what you get. Like, don't whine about it. You know, it's just not. It is what it is. You just didn't schedule well enough to do it. I do feel bad for TCU and Baylor in general, because I'd rather see them in there than Florida State. But it's really hard to keep the ACC champ out with a perfect record. Yeah, as much as I would have wanted to.
You can't.
I mean, there are computers that have them rated low. The whole point of this is we're not doing it by computers anymore, right? That human beings are making the decision, and I kind of agree with them, which turns my stomach, but yeah. So, Matt, we may be back next week. I'm not sure. Depends on what else is going on. If we beat Gonzaga, we'll be back, because we'll have to talk about it. But otherwise, we wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Anything Merry Christmas to everyone.
And to all a good night. Is that what you're going to say?
Sure.
It doesn't seem very original. Matt, the whole time I've been waiting to say, but you haven't said anything that where it worked. I wanted to be able to say them there's fighting words.
Oh man.
Yeah, but I couldn't work it in. I think I'm just off.
Yeah, see, and I didn't see a really good window for any of my fighting jokes. I was busting them out before we started the recording.
I know. You wasted them in the pregame. But, Matt, you should leave it all out on the field.
Yeah, I should. I'm going to go down swinging here.
Yeah, go down swinging. That's good. Well, again, you can...
I have some fight in me yet.
You do. You always have some fight in you. Thank you all for downloading and listening. Of course, check us out on iTunes. Check us out at loyalcougars.com. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. We will fight day or night, rain or snow.
You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring your new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many of you guys in trouble out here. And you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not bow, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming. Checking it twice.